ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः So we are seeing the fifth chapter, Karma Sanyasa Yoga. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha, Karma Sanyasa Yoga Nama, Panchamodhyayaha. The last verse we saw, Ihai Vataijita Sargaha, Yesham Samye Sthitam Manaha, Nirdosham Hi Samam Brahma, Tasmad Brahmani Te Sthitaha. See, all these verses talk about jnanis. Why Shastram is talking about jnanis? Because it is, when Shastram says, we have to 100% faith in what Shastram says. This is how a wise person is. Means wise person is free. He is absolutely unafflicted by his emotions. If you want to be free from the afflictions, then you also have to have jnanam, wisdom. What makes a person wise? It is the knowledge of the truth, not as some other truth somewhere outside. Knowledge of the truth of the whole world as knowledge of your own surupam. Just you are discovering the truth about yourself. Just by discovering the truth of yourself, what you are, you're understanding what this whole jagat is, what Ishvara is. And in that understanding, all your problems resolve. It's a fact. It is not some cock and bull story. It is a fact. And there are people, there were people, there have been people who made all possible efforts because they had faith in the Shastram, the Shastra's words. They made efforts to understand. They lived the way of enjoyed by the Shastram. And they made all possible efforts. Whatever Shastram expects them to do, they did. They lived. They followed Dharma. They understood. So it helped them understand the truth. And as a result of which, they attained jnanam. As with jnanam, as wise people, they did enjoy the benefit of knowledge. So, when wise, how the wise people live, how they are free. Shastram talks about it. Actually, Shastram indirectly is praising, glorifying the knowledge. What the miracle, the real miracle, there's no greater miracle than miracle that what the result of enjoying the result of knowledge. What miracle? People talk about materializing things and all that. How permanent they are. And here is a Shastram says, come on, you are, see, you can just take ownership of what you are searching for, what you desperately need through all your achievements is here available effortlessly. You can just have, take, enjoy it. That is your surupam. Isn't it the greater miracle? Is it a greater miracle than enjoying the benefit of knowledge? No. There is no greater miracle. The people come and tell all sorts of miracles, what people do, siddhis, what all they have. What is there? If somebody walks on water, so what do you get by that? Somebody is capable of having snakes crawling on him, what do you get by that? Somebody takes lingam out of the mouth or something, do people, what do you get out of it? I'm not talking anything ill of people. But what do you get? What is there for you? And Shastram says, this is here, that happiness, that fullness, that peace, what you are searching for. What is that you really want through all your pursuits and achievement? That actually, that moksha means don't think of going somewhere. Right now, fullness is there as your own sorupam. You must be subtle enough to appreciate it. The problem is if you are too gross to appreciate, we become all education, all our cultural forms, all our worship, all our prayers, the good things, the values people teach us, the parents teach us, we've been, the culture we grew up, all these things help us to become subtler enough to appreciate certain things. But you must become much subtler to appreciate this fact, much more sensitive, mentally must be stronger. The mind must be qualified for that, along apart from the Shastram. That is why Shastram teaches the very way of life also. Live this way. It is not easy to live in the way of life Shastram enjoins. Always you must remember, what is that I want to achieve in my life? What is it which makes my life successful and successful? It is this jnanam. It is for this jnanam I had to prepare my mind. All the time your attention must be focused on what is that I should achieve. I must prepare myself. See, knowledge and moksha are very, very easy to attain. No, I must prepare my mind for which this is how I had to live. Consciously remembering how I should be in situations, how I should live my life, so that I can be prepared for jnanam. No, you will make all possible efforts only if you know what knowledge can do for you. It is not that easy. One day you listen and forget. So Krishna doesn't get tired of repeating how glorious, great this wisdom is. Therefore, to say how glorious the wisdom is, and Krishna is really glorifying a wise person. See, glorifying wise person is not simple exaggeration. It is not flattery. We are not flattering Mahatmas. You know, flattery is different. But here, the fact, how a wise person is saying, it is not flattering wise person. It is telling the fact about the wise person. So, Shastram, becoming wise? No, you are bound to become wise. You can't afford to be innocent and naive anymore. You have to make efforts to become wise because you should know. That is how you become evolved person. You have to evolve. You can't say, I don't want to. I'm interested in simple masala dosa pleasures. So really, our interest has to change. We must become inclined for jnanam. We must make efforts to study, must make efforts to understand. The pursuit of knowledge must become our priority, for which, that's what Krishna repeats. Okay? Iha eva taihi jitaha sargaha. Here itself, you know, this whole life has, this creation, this world, this life has become, has been won by those people. Yesha manaha samye sthitam, those whose minds remain absorbed in the vision of the reality, which is one and the same in all beings. Samyam means that which is the same, that which is of the nature of sameness. Being the same in everything is what? Samyam Brahma. Those whose minds remain absorbed in Brahman, means what? Who cannot lose sight of the truth, and such people, for them, moksha is, they've attained jivan muktihi. That is what is said in this verse. We'll continue. We have done the next one also. Na prahrishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhira sammodha. Brahma vid brahma nisthitaha. This also we have seen. Again, the same thing I want to say. Brahma vid brahma nisthitaha. Brahma vid, the knower of the truth, and brahma nisthitaha. See, brahma vid means whoever studies Upanishad Bhagavad Gita understand Brahma. Brahma vid. But brahma nisthitaha means one who has ascertained doubt-free vision of the truth, being one's own self. You are one who really sees, one who can be objective. And Brahma with Brahmanisthitaha, such a person, Priyam Prapya Na Prahrishet, Apriyam Prapya Na Udvijet. Means, if the verb is in potential mood verb, but still you can take it as simple present tense verb. This person does not get disturbed. Disturbed means, no, even if you in pleasant, desirable situations, if you feel elated, also disturbance. Not only getting disturbed only when you're unhappy, even when you are happy, when you're pleased, everything is fine, situations are fine, and even then you feel elated. That is also disturbance. You are not disturbance. You are mentally not agitated. Elation is agitation. Depression is also agitation. But remain in being balanced, there's no agitation. Not only unhappiness agitates you, even in pleasant situations, everything is okay. In situations, you get agitated. You feel elated. Elation is agitation. Depression is agitation. Feeling low, feeling high, both are agitations only. One must be balanced in all situations. Remaining the same without elation and dejection is being balanced. It's called samatvam. Samatvam yoga uchyate. Krishna said, we have already seen in second chapter, third chapter, samatvam yoga uchyate. Samatvam is yoga. What is yoga? Samatvam is a preparatory discipline. If you are able to remain the same in all situations, pleasant and unpleasant, desirable and undesirable, that is very important. That for which a person has to live a life of karma yoga consciously with a proper attitude. Only then he can always having the attitude of looking at everything as Bhagavan's prasada, so that you have such an attitude. Prasada buddhi is possible. Therefore, you can maintain your balance without any agitation. That is before jnanam. But after attaining jnanam, effortlessly you will be person of mental equanimity. Yes, when you live a life karma yoga as an ajnani, you use your will and you try to be balanced. But as a wise person, you are effortlessly you remain balanced. That's why, and such people who are, for why they are, what makes them remain balanced in all situations, wise people, because they are not dependent on the world for their happiness and security. No external situation can make them happier. No unpleasant situation can make them, you know, feel low. Because there's nothing can make disturb their happiness. Because fullness for them is their Nirvan Swarupam, which they have discovered. And for them, nothing in the world can make them unhappy. Nothing in the world can make them happy also. That because they're independent. There's nothing which is hated by them, nothing which is desired by, liked by them. Therefore, there's neither passion or aversion on their part towards anything in the world. Therefore, they are balanced. Why there's neither passion or aversion? Because there's nothing which can make them happy, nothing which can make them unhappy also. Therefore, they're always balanced. That's why Yesha Manaha Samyesitam, those people whose, you know, Brahmanisthitaha. That person, wise person, is now knower of the truth. The truth is the self. And he has clear vision of what the self is, what the world is, what Ishvara is. For him, all that is, there is only Brahma, absolutely. Acha Brahmanisthitaha. For him, whatever comes in. For him also, like a Agyani, there will be situations desirable and undesirable. But external situations do not disturb his mental easiness. Is always balanced, absolutely balanced. Karma yogi, he makes efforts to be relatively balanced. But jnani is absolutely balanced, unagitated minded. That is why they said, Yesha manaha brahmavittu brahmanisthitaha priyam prapya na prahrishet apriyam prapya na udvijet. This also we have seen old lesson. We go next verse. Bahya sparsheshva saktatma vindatyatmani yat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukhamakshayam ashnute. Bahya sparsheshva saktatma vindatyatmani yat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma సుఖమక్షయమశ్నుతే బాహ్యస్పర్శేషు, యు బ్రేక్ ఇట్ యణ్ సంధి, బాహ్య స్పర్శేషు అసక్త ఆత్మ. సి బాహ్య స్పర్శేషు అసక్త ఆత్మ. హియర్ బాహ్య మీన్స్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్, స్పర్శ మీన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్. బాహ్య స్పర్శేషు ఇన్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, లోకేటివ్ ప్లూరల్. అసక్త ఆత్మ, అసక్త ఆత్మ, సక్త ఆత్మ మీన్స్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్, అసక్త ఆత్మ మీన్స్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ నాట్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్. వన్ హూ ఇస్ నాట్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ మీన్స్ వాట్? వన్ హూ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎంగేజ్డ్, వన్ హూ ఇస్ నాట్ ఇన్వాల్వ్డ్. సో ద పర్సన్, సో బాహ్య స్పర్శేషు అసక్త ఆత్మ మీన్స్ హియర్ ద వర్డ్ ఆత్మ మీన్స్ మైండ్. మస్ట్ బి వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్. ద వర్డ్ ఆత్మ, ఈవెన్ దో ఇట్ మీన్స్ అబ్సల్యూట్ రియాలిటీ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ పర్వేసివ్నెస్, ఇన్ సమ్ కాంటెక్స్ట్ ద వర్డ్ ఆత్మ మీన్స్ మైండ్ ఆల్సో. మస్ట్ బి వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్ వేర్ ద వర్డ్ ఆత్మ మీన్స్ మైండ్, వేర్ ద వర్డ్ ఆత్మ మీన్స్ ద సెల్ఫ్ reality, where the word atma sometimes means physical body also, sometimes. Now if you say pranamaya atma, what does it mean? Physical body. Where it means what, must make it very clear. So here, bahya sparsheshu asakta atma. Bahya sparshaha means what? Externally contactable objects. The external objects, perceptible through sense organs. If your eyes are closed, light is not sparsha. Sparsha literally means touch. But objects contactable, contacted through sense organs. When you open your eyes, you are in contact with the light. That is, so light is sparsha. You touch the light through your seeing power. You touch the sound through your hearing power. You touch the taste to your tongue. So each and every object is said to be sparshaha. Why? Because every object is touched through its corresponding sense organ. Therefore, your sense organs are functional, then you touch all the objects. So bahya sparshaha means external objects perceptible, contactable through your sense organs. Bahya sparseshu asakta atma. Sakta atma means one who is interested, one who is involved, one who is engaged in enjoyment is called sakta atma. But asakta atma means the one whose mind is not involved, engaged in external objects. What does it mean? Engage means the one who does not see, does the Shastra does not say. The person, even if you are seeing something in front of you, if you are not interested in that object, you are, suppose in front of me, diabetic patient, okay? He knows what will happen if he eats laddu. And if you hand out him lots of laddus and jalebis. I tell you, he's satta atma. But still, he doesn't touch. You know why? He knows the consequence. If I eat, tomorrow I have to have more insulin. And then it will affect my kidney, affect my vision later on. I may have to get my legs and things amputated. So he thinks of consequences. So he controls. He is not asakta atma. But this is called prudently he avoids. Okay, prudently he avoids. He behaves like asakta atma. Asakta atma means one who is not interested. One whose mind, okay, one whose mind does not entertain interest in external objects. He is called bahya sparseshu asakta atma. Now, it is very natural for anybody to be interested, involved, engaged in seeing the objects, perceiving the objects, and get engrossed in the object, enjoying the objects, emotionally get entangled with the objects. Not only enjoyable things, people, relationships, everything, the whole world, actions, results, people, relationships, all of them are what? Bahya sparshaha. When you don't have bahya sparshaha, when are you not involved, engaged? Once you fall asleep, when you do not even know you are, that time you are bahya sparsesu asakta atma. Every day in sleep, we are all bahya sparsesu asakta atmanaha. We are not interested. Why? We don't even perceive objects. Keeping our eyes open, keeping a sense. See, you perceive them, you see them, you hear things, you see things, you maintain relationship with the people, but still you are very objective. You are not engaged. Enjoy, you perceive the objects, but still you do not enjoy the objects. When is it possible? Only if you are objective. Objective means what? You are not dependent on external objects for your happiness or security. You can see the world, enjoy the world, can be with the world, still you can remain unengaged in the world of objects. How? Only if you're independent of the world for your happiness and security. Is it clear what I'm saying? So, and still, you don't get emotionally entangled, you're not dependent on the world. So only a wise, it is possible for a wise person. It is not keeping your eyes closed. You are seeing the objects, perceiving the objects, enjoying the objects. You are with the objects, amidst things, situations, but still you are not engaged. Such a person who is not dependent on the world. Another person said to be the one whose mind is not engaged, involved, okay, interested in the external world of objects. He is called Bahya Sparseshu Asakta Atma. Such a person, Yat Sukham Atmani Vindati. Well, how is it possible? Because that person revels in the vision of fullness. That person revels in the vision of fullness as one's own sarupam. Therefore, atmani sukham vindati. Sukham atmani vindati means what? He attains sukham in his own mind, in his own self. Attaining sukham, happiness in one's own self means what? Having discovered one's real nature, self, having discovered fullness as one's own sarupam, having cleared doubt-free vision of one's real nature being fullness, it is not simply saying, but really having clear understanding of what the self is, thereby reveling in the vision of one's own real nature being fullness. Such a person, he is with the world, but external world, he is not engaged in the world of objects. So, Bahya Sparsesha Sakta Atma Yat Sukham Atmani Vindati. The sukham, the fullness, the happiness, what he really attains means what? What the fullness he revels is his own nature. Yat sukham vindati. Saha brahma, sab brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Similarly, brahma yoga yuktatma. Brahma yoga means Brahma Yoga means contemplation. Brahma Yoga Yukta Atma means the person who is endowed with the mind, which is engaged in contemplation. The one who is contemplative. Brahma Yogaha means being in association with Brahma. Which means what? You can associate yourself with Brahma. Brahma Yoga means being contemplative. If your attention is focused on your own Swarupam, which is the truth of Swarupa of the whole cosmos, is called Brahma Yogaha. See, you are with that whatever you are thinking of. If you are thinking of coffee, it is coffee yoga. If you are thinking of food, it is food yoga. If you are thinking of your wife yoga. If you are thinking of your children yoga. If you are thinking of Brahma, dwelling upon the nature of reality as unfolded in the Shastra, you understood through unfoldment of the Shastra's words, through Shravanam, then that's called Brahma Yoga. So Brahma Yoga Yukta Atma. Yukta Atma means the one who is endowed with the mind is called Yukta Atma. The person who is endowed with the mind. What does it mean? He has the mind. And his mind, which is engaged in, involved in contemplation. So the person who is contemplative is said to be Brahma Yoga Yukta Atma. Saha. Such a person, contemplative means what? This person already has clearly and he has understood the Swarupam. He has understood the reality, Brahma, as one's own Swarupam. Not only has understood, he must have heard again and again and again, and he has clarified his doubts. Now no other school of thought can come and shake his understanding. Why? He has done adequate mananam. No Buddhist, no Jain, no any other school of thought, even a Vaidika, even other schools of thought, they can come and say, he can appreciate all their goodness. He can value with due respect to their values and devotion and then commitment and their piety. All with due respect to all of them. Because when all other people, so many others feel like they're all very good people, good human beings, harmless people, highly righteous, highly religious, worshipful, prayerful, think of well-being of others. There are many people, but still they have their own, the schools, they have their own views because they're given to different schools of thought. So when even whoever comes, this person not only has understood the teaching, understanding is such convinced because no other, it's not adamantly, it's not simply being adamant, but really thoughtfully, having analyzed thoroughly, repeatedly having heard, and one who is convinced of his clarity, such a person has clear doubt-free vision, and such a person, you know, no other person can come and shake his understanding. And when he repeatedly dwells upon what he has clearly understood, such a person is said to be Brahma Yoga Yuktatma. Sabrahma Yoga Yuktatma. Sabrahma Yoga Yuktatma. Vindati Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. How can he, if a person is dwelling upon his real nature, what he has clearly understood, how can he miss imperishable joy? How can he miss everlasting happiness? How can he miss it? Akshayam sukham, not temporary time-bound pleasure which comes and goes, but it's a permanent, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness he enjoys. He attains means, even though it's said to be attaining, he takes ownership of his sukham. Why it is permanent? Because it is not something attained, it is his own nature. When the person, one who dwells upon one's own Swarupam, only ascertains one's real nature being fullness. Therefore, he takes ownership of happiness as one's own real nature. So, akshayam sukham. Akshayam sukham means what? Not time-bound pleasure, not temporary happiness. It is everlasting. Why? It has no beginning. This person discovers happiness which doesn't have a beginning, which doesn't have an end. Why it doesn't have a beginning and end? Because it is very swarupam of the reality. And before reality happens to be one's own self, it is his own swarupam. Therefore, it is akshayam sukham. Do you attain yourself? Can you ever attain yourself? No. Why? You are the one thing you doesn't, one thing need not be attained because it is yourself. You need not, cannot attain yourself. How can you attain your swarupam then? Swarupam also cannot attain yourself. You cannot attain. That is why it is akshayam sukham. One's own swarupam is akshayam, everlasting, permanent. Akshayam sukham ashnute. Who is the one who attains akshayam sukham? For want of expression, Krishna says attains. He doesn't attain, as though attaining. He just takes ownership of fullness, which is beginningless, endless, everlasting, as his own swarupam. How? Because one who dwells upon his own real nature, which has clearly, doubtlessly, unshakably understood through his Shravanam and Mananam, such a person has this moksha. Which means, this another verse which says, he is absolutely free. Sukham ashnute means prakshayam sukham ashnute, such a person, there's no pairs of opposites, no external situations can really shake his mental peace. Cannot shake his mental condition. He will not be shaken by any situation. If you discover fullness being yourself, and no external situation will really afflict you, will be shake you. No, I understood everything, still I'm stay shaken means you have to assimilate. Assimilation. How can I assimilate? Contemplation. How can I contemplate? You must have mental steadiness. If you're not mentally steady, then seek Bhagavan's grace. Again, repeatedly do Shravanam for longer time. That's the only way. Anyway, it's all about Jnanam only. See, Jivan Mukti is put in different words, again explained differently. So the person, see, if your mind is not involved, engaged, not interested in external world of objects, what does it mean? You are reveling in your own fullness. In deep sleep state, you have no dukkham. You know why? You are not involved with the external world of objects. But unfortunately, in deep sleep state, not that you are not involved, you are allowed to be involved in the world. Because naturally, you are prevented from perceiving the world. You cannot perceive the world. Therefore, there is sukkham. But keeping awake, is seeing everything, still knowingly in sleep, you are ignorant of yourself, ignorant of the world. Therefore, there's no dukkha. But in waking state, keeping awake, perceiving everything, enjoying everything, still you must have sukham. Not sukham, which doesn't come and go. That is possible. Only if you have atma sukham, then you will not be dependent on bahya sukham. You will not be dependent on external world for sukham. As long as you do not know you are happiness yourself, you will be helplessly, you will be choicelessly dependent on the world for your happiness and security. Once you discover you are fullness yourself, then effortlessly you will be independent of the world for your happiness and security. That's what is said in the first sentence. The second sentence, the one who is contemplative also definitely discovers that fullness as being one's own sarupam. That's why it said akshayam sukham ashnute. He is free. He becomes free while living. Okay. Bahyasparseshva saktatma sukhamat yatman vindatyatmani yat sukham sabrahmayoga yuktatma sukhamakshayamashnute. Yehi samsparsha jabhogaha. Yehi samsparsha jabhogaha. Dukkhayonaya evate. Adyantavantah kaunteya. Nateshuramate buddhaha. Yehi samsparsha jabhogaha. Dukkhayonaya evate. Adyantavantah kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. Now Bhagavan says, hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Arjuna, yehi samsparshaja bhogaha. See, Bhagavan tells a bitter truth. Now, what is bitter truth? Bitter fact. Samsparshaja bhogaha dukkha yonayaha yeva. Samsparshaja bhogaha means what? Pleasures enjoyable through the enjoyment of objects. Pleasure, enjoyment of pleasure earned as a result of enjoyment of objects. Any degree of joy, pleasure, happiness you experience as a result of enjoyment of external objects. Any degree of pleasure, happiness, joy you experience, you enjoy as a result of enjoyment of objects. Are born of external objects. Samsparshaja bhogaha means the pleasures. Bhogaha means pleasures. Born of external objects. Born of the contact with external objects. Samsparshaha means contact. Samsparshaha. Samsparshaja bhogaha. Ja means born. Samsparshaha means contact. Perceived. Contacted is perceived. Samsparshaha. Samsparshaja means what? Born of contact. What is born of contact? Bhogaha, pleasures. So any degree of pleasure, joy, happiness, which is born of contact with external world of objects, sense objects, that pleasure. So, samsparshaja bhogaha. Pleasures born of our contact with external objects of the world. Dukkha yonayaha eva. Definitely they cause sorrow. They're sources of sorrow. Definitely they are sources of sorrow only. So pleasures born of our contacts with the external world of objects definitely are sources of sorrow. Dukkha yonayaha. Dukkham. Dukkha yonihi means what? Yonihi means source, cause. Dukkha yonihi means source of sorrow. What is plural? Dukkha yonayaha. Sources of sorrow. So, samsparshaha literally means a touch. So touch here implies what? Perception results in touch of the object. Therefore, samsparsha literally means contact. Implies contact. When we come in contact with the external world of objects, or we enjoy the external world of objects, so enjoyment or perception, experience of external world of objects naturally gives rise to enjoyment, experience of pleasures. Enjoyment of external objects result in experience of pleasures. So contact with the external world result in enjoyment of pleasures. And that pleasure. So pleasures, bhogaha, they're born of enjoyment of external objects, world of objects. Born of contact with the external world of objects. Samsparshaja bhogaha dukkayonayaha. Dukkayonihi singular. Dukkayonayaha plural. Sources of pain. Sources of sorrow. Yeva. Definitely the sources of sorrow. Definitely the source of sorrow only. How do we say? No, there's a verse. Because everything in this world is mixed with pain. There's no such a thing called pure pleasure. Pleasure is always mixed with pain. Dukkha mishritam eva sukham. Pleasure is mixed with pain. Because we can never enjoy experience pleasure without pain. There is no such thing called dukkha rahita shuddham sukham. No. Dukkha rahita shuddham sukham swarupam only. The pleasure is a state of mind which you entertain when whenever you forget your smallness. And objects help you for that. So here, dukkha mishitam is sukham. Pleasure. Why? Because before you attain something, to gain something, you must work hard. So, arjane dukkham. In gaining something, it can be money or a job or position or possession, any object of pleasure, to attain it, it involves a lot of strain. So, arjane dukkham. Then after getting it, you have to preserve it, maintain it. So, rakshane dukkham. You have to maintain. You have to maintain. Then, one day, definitely it is time bound. Because that is the loka niyati. Nothing which is permanent here. One day you will lose it. Nashe dukkataram. Arjane dukkam, rakshane dukkam, nashe dukkataram. In losing the pleasure, object of pleasure, it is worse. More painful. That is why enjoyment of pleasure comes easily without experiencing some pain. Enjoyment of any degree of pleasure involves pain. In gaining, you have to go through some suffering. And in preserving, in maintaining, you have to have some pain. In losing, there's a greater pain. Dukkha taram. Therefore, dukkha rahita sukham is not there. Sukham is always dukkha mishritam. Pleasure always mixed with the pain. So Krishna says here, dukkha yonayaha yeva. Therefore, any degree of pleasure you enjoy, experience, as a result of your contact with anything external in the world, doesn't mean you should stop Can't be the people of world, people, things and all. That doesn't mean that you should not have contact. What it says is, it can't help. We have to live in this world. We have to perceive objects. We have to enjoy. We have to be with the world. But you should remember, if at all there's any pleasure, we should be conscious of the nature of the pleasure. You must be prudent, you must be intelligent, how much I should value it. Enjoy it, but be conscious. It is not permanent. Okay? Why? Because, therefore he says, the pleasures born of contact with the external world of objects definitely are sources of sorrow. Because any pleasure is time bound. When you're enjoying pleasure, you seem to be happy, but once you lose that, one day the pleasure will disappear. Why? Because the pleasure is a state of mind which you entertain as a result, as long as you're enjoying a desirable object. The object may become undesirable after some time, or the object may be subject to time. You lose it. And that's why everything is time bound here. How can the pleasure which is dependent on enjoyment of a given object will be permanent? Therefore, dukkha yonaha eva. Therefore, what is the result? Samsparsha jaha bhogaha dukkha yonaha eva. Therefore, he says, adi antavantaha. It is all such pleasures born of contact with the external world of objects, they are sources of pain, sorrow. They also the time bound. Adivantaha, antavantaha. Adyantavantaha means they have beginning, they have end. They come and go. They're not permanent. They're not eternal. Pleasure is not eternal. Happiness is eternal. Because fullness is eternal. Okay, swarupam. Happiness, fullness is your swarupam. Therefore it is permanent. It has no beginning. It has no end. It doesn't come. It doesn't go. When you do not know, it's as though not there. When you discover it, when you understand, it is always there for you. Whereas pleasure is a mental condition purely dependent on your enjoyment of external objects and which comes and goes. Adivam antavan, adyantavantaha. They have beginning, they have an end also. Pleasure has a beginning, pleasure has an end. Because it's a mental condition, it will go disappear. It is not sorupam, which comes and goes. Pleasure comes and goes. All pleasures come and go. No, there's no such a thing called permanent pleasure at all. Pleasure is time bound. Comes and goes. So all these pleasures, why plural? Whatever is the object you're enjoying, as long as it's other than yourself, any degree of pleasure, joy, experience, as a result, which is born of the enjoyment of something which is other than your own swarupam, will be time bound. Okay, that is adyantavantaha means what? They have beginning and end, they're time bound, they come and go. Therefore, buddhaha, wise person, who will be interested in this time bound, arriving, departing pleasures, which is dependent on the enjoyment of external objects? Who will be interested? Only immature people, ignorant people, who understand the limitation of these pleasures, they will be craving for such pleasures. Shastram does not belittle a person who is craving for pleasures. Shastram only tells you what person, who will be craving for such pleasures? Immature people, ignorant people, who do not know the limitations of the pleasures, do not know the nature of pleasures, that they are time bound, they come and go, their mental conditions, they're dependent on the external world of objects, and such things will If once you know the limitations of these pleasures, then you will be prudent and intelligent not to be interested in it. So he says, Mudaha teshu na ramate. Wise person does not revel in those pleasures. Why? He's not dependent on that. Why? Because he's reveling in his own sorupam of fullness. So wise person, Buddha, does not revel in those pleasures, delight in those pleasures born of contact, born of the contact with external objects, which have beginning and end, which are not permanent. He's not interested. He doesn't need. Why? He's reveling in fullness, reveling in the vision of fullness being his own real nature. Yehi samsparsha jabhoga dukkhayonaya evate adyantavantah kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhah. Be very careful here. Don't say Krishna tells not to enjoy anything in the world. Be very careful. If Krishna teaches, he would have been a wrong teacher. You know, Bhagavan Krishna, he doesn't say that you should not enjoy anything in the world. Be very careful. What he, so Shastram, the beauty of this Veda Shastram, beauty of our Shastram is, nowhere nobody is considered inferior or superior. Nowhere said to be wrong or bad. Only talks about maturity and immaturity. If the question of knowing, if you know fire will burn your finger, you will be prudent. Will you go and foolishly touch it? No. When you touch, what does it mean? Now that you know and you still go and touch it. You do not know. And you learn. Once you learn, next time you don't touch, you are called. The experience has taught you. You have learnt a lesson. Shastram also, the one who learns from one's life's experience is also called Brahmana. One of the meanings of the word Brahmana is what? The intelligent person. The one who learns from one's life's experiences. He must be sharp enough to learn. If you are dead, then in spite of having experience, you don't learn. Isn't it? You don't learn. Like that, if I touch fire, it will burn my finger. First time I did not know. Second time my experience must have taught me, oh, if I touch it will burn my finger, I should not touch it. That's called a prudence, intelligence, carefulness. Isn't it? Is it here? We must learn. But so, Shastram doesn't say good person, bad person, right person. No. When you're immature, then you do not know. Shastram wants us to grow. Shastram doesn't tell us not to enjoy the world of objects. The whole world here is for you to enjoy. What else can you do? Why are you blessed with five sense organs? For you to perceive them. See, hear, taste, smell, touch. Mind is given. Why? It's antahkaranam. It's instrument of knowledge to know. Know, perceive the world, see the world, explore the world, know, understand, enjoy. All objects of pleasure. But be prudent. Be intelligent. Enjoy. Enjoyment of world is for you not to punish yourself. Enjoyment of the world is enjoy the world, experience the world, but you be intelligent, you also learn to grow out of desire for objects of enjoyment. If you do not even enjoy, how can you grow out of desire for enjoyment? You cannot even know what desire is. You must know the object, must have desire for an object, work for that, enjoy it, and learn to grow out of that. So Shastram says, see the world, experience the world. Experience, knowledge of the world of objects naturally will give rise to desires. So desires are very natural. And when you, the desires come, how to fulfill your desires? Shastram tells you. How to filter my desires? Now use your knowledge of right and wrong. Use your willpower. Then try to fulfill those desires which do not impel you to go against dharma. And fulfill those desires which allow you to, which can be fulfilled in conformity with dharma. That's called a prudent living. And when you live a life of dharma, it makes you sharper because you will be alert in living a life of dharma. As a result of which, when you enjoy the objects, you enjoy the, then you work for it. Desire comes, desire results in. So jnana shakti gives you what? You understand what is. Then the desire for known object comes. Then you work to enjoy it, attain it, have it, enjoy. Then after enjoyment, you must learn. You must get the lesson. What is that? The limitation of what it can give you, what it cannot give you. Any aspired, any fulfillment of desire, after fulfilling, you must have learned a lesson. What it can give, what it cannot give. It can give you some temporary pleasure, time-bound pleasure, but it cannot give you permanent happiness. That's called lesson. So Shastram, Bhagavan does not expect us not to enjoy anything, close your eyes and sit somewhere, go to the forest, no. That is why all ashramas are beautifully designed for us. Live your life properly, enjoy everything. At the same time, follow dharma so that be sharp enough to be able to learn. Once you understand the limitations, others need not tell you, you yourself naturally grow out of desire for objects of enjoyment. That is called maturity. That is called vairagyam. Naturally growing out of passion, desire, for objects of enjoyment, knowing their limitations, what they can give, what they cannot give, is called vairagyam. So vairagyam means dispassion, naturally growing out of desire for things. By understanding, dispassion must be born of understanding of the limitations. That's called maturity growth. Once you become dispassionate towards it, and then you would be interested in what? You'd be interested in permanent. What is that which can fulfill my desire? What is that which can give me permanent sukham? Then you will be interested, you will discover passion. Always dispassion toward impermanent. Result in passion for permanent. Jnanam. It all comes. Then you will be interested in jnanam. Once you are interested in jnanam, passion, nobody can stop you. Once you make up your mind, once you know the value of jnanam, you know the value of moksha, you know the value of permanent sukham, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness. Therefore, you make all possible efforts. Okay, what should I do for attain jnanam? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. I'm not yet qualified for jnana. What should I do? Let me live a life of karma yoga. Let me follow dharma. Let me be prayerful. Let me think of Bhagavan always. Let me do my duties properly. You will do the needful as Shastram tells you. Once you know the value of what your greater value of what you're going to have by jnana. It's a question of viveka, isn't it? Viveka is there. Vairagyam is there. You will make all possible efforts, then you attain. Isn't it? You'll be interested. Similarly here, you are more mature, you will aspire for jnanam. If you are not adequately mature, at least you will be aspiring for things, but still at least you will try to live a life of dharma. If you are immature, you will be interested only in enjoyment of pleasures born of contact with objects. It's a question of maturity. And Krishna is talking about Buddha. Why he says, he already talked about the greatness of wisdom by talking about the greatness of wise people. Now he's saying, Arjuna, he doesn't say you don't be interested. He says, wise person is not interested in all those things. Wise person doesn't revel in those pleasures, enjoyment. Wise person does not revel in the pleasures, enjoyment of pleasures born of contact with the objects. Why? Wise person revels in the vision of one's own nature being fullness. Why should the person who is reveling in full happiness should aspire for, why should he be interested in fraction? A person who is enjoying the fullness, will he be interested in fraction? No. When you are given a big mansion in central London, and will you be asking for a small bedroom apartment in Huntingdon? No. When fullness is available, why should you be interested in fraction? That's the secret. Okay? You will aspire for one bedroom when I'm on the roadside. No place to stay. I need somewhere to stay. Then I'll be interested in one bedroom apartment. If I'm given a big mansion, where do you look for one bedroom? When the wise person revels in the vision of fullness being his own swarupam, why should he be interested in enjoyment of pleasures, time-bound adyantavantaha? They come and go, temporary time-bound pleasures, and which are born of danger, contact with the objects. Simple. By telling this, he also again indirectly emphasizes the importance of wisdom. Wise person is mature. Otherwise is immature. Isn't it? So you now, then I must become interested in jnanam. Krishna has to say explain so many words to Arjuna. Where are we? Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukkhayonaya evate adyantavantah kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. Shaknoti haivaya sodham praksharira vimokshanat kamakrodhod bhavam begam sayuktasa sukhi naraha. Shaknoti haivaya sodham praksharira vimokshanat kama krodhod bhavam vegam sayuktasa sukhi naraha. Again, Bhagavan says, see, different ways of talking about a wise person. Yaha, sodhum shaknoti. Sodhum means, sodhum literally means to bear. But here, one who is able to handle to manage. The person who is able to handle, able to manage. Sodhum. Shaknoti is able. Yaha sodhum shaknoti. Shaknoti means is able. Sodhum to handle, to manage. Yaha naraha sodhum shaknoti. He is able to handle what? Kama krodha udbhavam vegam. One who is able to handle vegaha means impulse. This vegaha literally means speed. Speed. The impulse. In this context, the word vegaha means impulse. The person who is able to handle, manage the impulse, vegaha. Impulse of what? No, impulse born, udbhava. Udbhava means ja. Like ja, udbhava means born. The person who is capable of handling, managing his impulses born of impulse caused by or born of kamaha and krodaha, desire and anger. See, desire and anger, we have to be very practical, okay? Desire in the form of likes and dislikes and anger. I tell you, there's no human mind which is absolutely free from the hold of anger and desire. There cannot be a mind without desire and anger. It is very natural for every mind to have anger and desire. Every human being definitely has anger and desire. These two are very basic. All other emotions can be handled very easily if you can handle these two. Desire and anger are two important enemies, Shastra Bhagavan says in another place. Every human mind, but the proportion, the degree may vary from person to person. One person may have little anger, one a lot of anger, the people full of anger. We say, really speaking, there's no Mahatma. Everyone has anger. Certain degree, the degree may vary from person to person. Everyone has desire. Where is it? Now we are not angry, Swamini. You may say that. I tell you, now we are not angry. Thank God you're listening. If you're angry, you can't listen. No, you're disturbed, disease, you can't listen. Anger and desire are dormant, latent in subconscious. It is there. How do you say it is there? Because ajnanam is there. As long as you have ajnanam, as long as ignorance is there, as long as identity with the body imagines complex is there, as long as in spite of studying, understanding, as long as you are not able to be objective still, as long as in spite of having understanding also, as long as assimilation is not there. Some people have no understanding at all. But being exposed to Shastra study, people have understanding, but they have to assimilate it. Even if you have not assimilated the teaching, still, whether you do not know anything at all, or even if you know something, but still you have not yet assimilated the teaching, still there will be kama and krodha. Take it for granted. Don't say, I don't have anger at all. All human beings naturally have anger and desire dormant latent in the subconscious. When external situations, sometimes some given situations become instrumental. Which situation, who is involved, when, where, how, we do not know. For some people, some situations become nimittam, instrumental, to trigger those emotions. They trigger, they surface. So external situations are not responsible, they're instrumental in triggering, in stirring, in making the anger and disease surface. When they surface emotion of thoughts, then you are completely, you are under the spell of the impulse of anger and desire. Uncontrollably, your behavior will be there. Is it clear now? And whatever happens, happens. Somebody gets hurt, somebody gets wounded, somebody gets afflicted, or you go and buy something in a hurry. All our actions, we are not able to, why it happens. The desire comes, we are not able to handle. And the anger comes, we are not able to handle. We cannot manage. We are not able to control. We cannot undo. We understand, we cannot undo our desire, suppress, destroy, give up our anger and desire. We cannot do anything. Why? They're natural. We are not creating our anger and desire. It is not like our dosa idli what we make. No, desire and anger are naturally triggered emotions. It surfaces from your subconscious. The situations and people, they are only instrumental. So there is something instrumental in triggering. So from your own subconscious, they surface. There's no fresh, brand new anger. There's no fresh, brand new desire which comes first time. Desire for ice cream may be new. Desire for some new thing in IKEA may be new. But desire is not new. Desire is an emotion which is old already. All desires are old. All disease, all your anger is old, pain is old. There's no fresh, nothing new. When they're dormant and latent, you think you do not have it. It is like a symptom, you know, symptomless disease. You don't know. You think you're okay. But when an external situation becomes instrumental in triggering it, when it surfaces, and then we do not, because we are not creating our disease and anger, that is why we are not able to manage them and able to handle them. Okay? And Shastram teaches, unless and until we handle them, manage them, there's no way of becoming qualified for attainment of knowledge, for attaining jnanam. And without jnanam, there's no moksha. That is why it is repeatedly said from day one, from kindergarten class, from day one, the very, very basic introduction to Vedanta classes, we've been always saying purusharthanischaya, purusharthanischaya. We must know first of all the purpose of living this life, must know the value of moksha, must then know the value of jnanam. Only then you will think of preparing your mind for jnanam. In order to prepare your mind for jnanam, then you'll think you know the value of living a life of dharma, and you will know, then you will have karma yoga with the proper attitude, Ishwar Prabhutihi, then Bhagavad Smaranam, prayer, worship, with all that you will make the best use of your willpower and knowledge of right and dharma, dharma, viveka, all the time use it. So you will try your best not to compromise with dharma. That's only way you can manage your emotions. This is not new lesson. I've been teaching from day one. Isn't it? How to manage? Only by living a life of dharma. Consciously living a life of dharma. And prayerfully, worshipfully, seeking Bhagavan's grace. By making the best use of your willpower. Not an easy joke. You need a very strong will to live a life of dharma. Then you can manage your emotions. It's called living a life of karma yoga, living a life of dharma, living a life governed by dharma. We understood. because we cannot manage. And once you have Purusharth Nischeha, once you have committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then you can, you know there's a way of life you follow, then you can manage your emotions. And here Bhagavan says, once you have Jnanam, do you need to manage your emotions? No. In Jnanam, effortlessly your desires would have resolved. You would be free from binding desires. Even the desires are there, they will not impel to go against Dharma naturally. Because you are not dependent, you are not doing any action for happiness. Therefore, anger would have resolved. Anger is the expression of one's hurt. When the desire is not fulfilled, there will be anger. When there is a hurt feeling, anger will be there. Because you will be free from guilt, hurt, anger, everything in Jnanam. When the perspective changes, they all will resolve. Then you can manage. You don't need to manage because they won't disturb you at all in Jnanam. So here Bhagavan says, the person who can be happy in, if a person has resolved all his emotions for good through attainment of knowledge, if a person has become free from the hold of emotions through the attainment of knowledge, he does not need to manage his emotions and he is absolutely happy person. And until Jnanam, the person who is capable of managing, handling his emotions by living a life of Dharma, then he is relatively happy. So your happiness is in having your emotions resolved for good. You can be absolutely happy. You don't need to handle emotions because you're free from the hold of emotions. And that freedom from the hold of emotions is possible only when your perspective changes. For the perspective to change, you need Jnanam. So, Jnanameva Jnanadeva Kaivalyam. Jnanadeva Mokshaha. Freeing oneself from the hold of emotions is freedom from the hold of mind. Then you are absolutely free. There is only happiness for you. For which? Jnanam. If you have Jnanam, you don't need to handle. Why? You'll be free from the hold of emotions. In perspective change, and there is happiness. Otherwise, until Jnanam, to prepare your mind for Jnanam, no choice. You have to live a life of Karma Yoga to manage your emotions. Then you will be relatively happy. So in living a life of Dharma, living a life of Karma Yoga, handle one's emotions, then one can be relatively happy. If you attain Jnanam, then you don't need to handle emotions. You are free from the hold of emotions. You will be absolutely happy. If you do not know how to handle your emotions, don't know how to manage your emotions, then you are helplessly, you will be slave of your emotions, slave of your mind. And you cannot be happy. You will be disturbed, unhappy, if you're unhappy and you will be miserable, you will make helplessly others miserable as well. If you are miserable, it's okay. You are miserable and you helpless, not you want to make others unmiserable. Uncontrollably, you will make others miserable. You make others miserable as well. Why? Because you do not know how to handle your emotions. So, Shastram does not say that you should not, it's wrong not to have, wrong to have emotions. We understand desire is natural, anger is natural, jealousy is natural. All our emotions are very natural. They dormant latent in our subconscious. We cannot undo them. You can't cut and throw your head away. You have headache. You can't do that. I have headache, so let me cut it and throw it to my head. No, it's not possible. Similarly, these emotions are naturally latent in subconscious. They will surface. But when, where, how, who becomes instrumental, what situation becomes instrumental to trigger them for them to surface, will surface. Once they surface, you do not have any say over them because you are not creating them. You can't undo them, destroy them. But once they are there, and you will be agitated and disturbed. Your behavior will be completely controlled by your emotions. So it is very important to take care of your emotions. You have to handle them. If you do not know how to handle them, you can never be happy. You do not know how to handle, you'll be miserable. Not to be miserable, you'll make others miserable. If you know how to handle them, you will be happy. You'll be happy if you know how to handle them initially. And try to, when you're able to handle them, also make all possible efforts for jnanam. Once you have jnanam, you will be absolutely free from the hold of emotions. And you don't need to handle them because you'll be free. Okay? So Bhagavan says in this context, Yaha Naraha Sharira Vimokshanat Prak. You can't handle, you don't need to handle emotions after death, okay? If you're able, the person who is capable of handling, managing his emotions when he's alive, that person is able to handle, manage his impulse born of emotions such as desire, anger, etc. And that person becomes a disciplined minded. The person who is capable of managing his emotions alone can become mentally disciplined. Disciplined minded, yuktaha, integrated minded. Such a person can be happy. Bhagavan doesn't want to say who will be unhappy, okay? He only says who can be happy, he stops. Until next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Rubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.